Arcadia is an exhibition of new paintings by Maggie Mailer. It's on display at the McDerris Fine Art Gallery on Warren Street in Hudson, New York, through November 15th. In 2009, Maggie became the first artist in residence at the Berkshire Museum in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. In 2002, she founded the Storefront Artist Project in Pittsfield, which for 10 years served to establish a transparent boundary between the artist at work and the public sphere. Her work has been featured in Art New England with cover stories in the Boston Globe and the Los Angeles Times, and it's a great pleasure to have her back on the show. It's been quite a while. So wonderful to welcome back Maggie Mailer. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. Thanks so much, Joe, for having me on the show.
It is terrific to have you here. So when we look at an exhibition like Arcadia, this has its roots how far back?
Let's see. I mean, I would say, as far as my history as a painter, it goes back to my interest in landscape painting, which probably started when I moved back to the Berkshires in 2002. Before that, when I was living in the city, I had just started painting, and I was making these sort of wild, very energetic, abstract, and figurative works. I had no idea what I was doing. You know, I just plunged in. And then over the last 10 years, as I've become more and more dedicated to painting as a practice, I have sort of tied myself to the tradition of landscape painting. So I've also been very interested in 19th century romantic landscape painters, like Corot has been a big influence. Hiroshige is another one. I can talk about that later. Mm-hmm. But the show really it's a new direction, because I've jumped away from all of these influences, and I've started going back to my earlier painting habits. So I'm marrying this very staid sort of beautiful landscape tradition with a kind of wildness and emotional content.
Talk about the emotional content. I mean, is that something that you feel as you're painting it, or do you see reflected on the canvas when you look back at it?
Oh, I absolutely feel it as I'm working. And it's something that for years I think I was trying to sublimate or weave into the painting so that it was almost an invisible layer. And lately I've been more interested in not in showing everything that happens in the painting process. So these paintings are actually, I set them up so that I can make room for a sort of a dialogue with an emotional, my own emotional space. So I will set up a, say, for example, a Corot landscape. I'll look directly at an image, and then I'll just attack it, and I'll use the painting process to whatever's happening, whatever I'm listening to in the news, whatever I feel needs expression, just goes into the painting, and then somehow there's a language that these two conflicting modes seem to have in common, and I try to find that common ground between the two, because really what I'm doing is a little bit the process is so full of conflict, and so I'm sort of working with the conflict and working with the ways in which there's a sense of communication within the conflict, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. As you're describing this, your hands are on the table, and you have them opposed to one another. And I'm curious, is that similar to the way it is depicted on the canvas, of where it's sort of a right to left or left to right, where there is a convergence?
There's an obvious sort of compositional
explosion in the middle
depiction. It happens more in terms of layers. So I'll start out in one mode where I'm actually, you know, feeling fairly serene. I'm looking out at this incredible landscape where we live in New Lebanon, and I think, okay, I have to do something with this environment where I actually live and say something about it, or respond, you know. But then I'll turn on the radio and hear about what's happening.
Right.
And I think, okay, I have to respond to that. So the paintings are really this kind of this layered diary of my responses to the environment. And they build up their own space over time. And, you know, when I look back at them, sometimes I sand back into the paintings and I can remember what I was thinking or feeling at a given time. So they really are like diaries.
You use the words in the notes that you have about this exhibition about that there is this setup of reverence versus destruction.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's us and nature, isn't it?
It is. I didn't set out to do this deliberately when I was putting these paintings together. I let myself paint without a clear intention in mind, which is the first time I've done this. And what I saw myself doing was really mirroring what's happening on the planet, with sort of our collective attitude towards the environment, which is this, again, it's the back and forth between reverence and aggression. And, you know, when I'm painting, I can't help it. There's this, I'll set something up that takes hours to make that's beautiful and perfect looking, and then I'll destroy it. And it's just this incredibly strong urge. I think the creative process has that built into it. And I think perhaps as humans, we just have this built in, this need to sort of push against what's around us. And so I couldn't help but look at the paintings and think that there was this correlation between, you know, the creative process and, you know, what we're dealing with collectively with climate change and all of that, you know, and our responsibility for it. And so,
I mean, at the risk of going down this road, would genetics play a role in this too? That's sort of the
I had a feeling you might ask that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm just curious because, I mean, obviously your father did much the same thing in writing.
Sure.
And was, yes, there were the novels, but one of the most potent critics of our times through that art form. So it would seem somewhat natural for you to be in that atmosphere.
Yeah.
And have those feelings that would look, because I'm not sure that all of us would look at that as a human and say that we have to destroy it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do think that
that attitude might be built in.
No, I mean, yeah, sure. My assumptions probably have been shaped by my father's attitudes. And I'm obviously aware of this. My brother and I were talking about this. My brother, Stephen Mailer, is an actor, and he was saying that often he'll be working on a project and then find this moment where he just wants to sabotage the whole thing. I do think a lot of artists go through this in the creative process. And when he said that, I said, you know, that's actually – I decided to build that process into these paintings. Because after all these years of being in the studio, I'm so intimately aware of my own sort of moments of wanting to put my head in the sand or just look away, or that happens constantly. And I thought, why not build that into the paintings themselves, make that part of the image?
So how do you build that into the process? Is that making time for it or just the understanding that it's going to come eventually?
It's both. It's both. But I'm actually literally letting the paint turn against the image. So it's hard to talk about this, you know, on the radio, but I say I have a landscape that I've been looking at, a Hiroshige, like a woodblock print of a beautiful, serene image of this open sky and a volcano. And I'll take some of this, I'll find the softest color in the painting, and then apply it on top of the image with a kind of aggression and force, which sets up this sort of tension in the painting and a kind of, it sets up a confusion about the space that's created. And when the viewer looks at the painting, it actually has the effect of disorienting the viewer. It's one wants to have a sort of physical relationship to the painting and also just a visual one, and so it throws you off. I mean, at least I find this when I look at the work now. There's almost a disembodying effect, which is kind of dizzying and exciting, and that's what I'm going for. I didn't answer your question about my father, you know, directly, but I just think that of course I was influenced by him, and without consciously planning it, I do feel his presence sometimes when I'm working.
And my question was more about genetics. I mean, it's just a sort of how we grow up of the artistic forces that we have in life. I'm always fascinated by second or third generation artists because they tend not to go in the artistic in the same venue as the generation before. But it's certainly artistic, and it does seem to be ultimately somewhat inspired, whether it's conscious or unconscious.
Yeah, sure.
Which, of course, comes naturally. It's a, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking on the way here, you know, like the life of being in the studio and making paintings is there's a certain level of discomfort and questioning, constant questioning that's part of it. But I think, you know, it's nothing like the discomfort of being a writer. I mean, you know, dealing with words all day, that's something that, I'm not up for that.
Right. I have it in front of me, and if people go to your website, which is maggiemaylor.com, they can see there's a painting, and the one I'm looking at is Arcadia.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about the landscape and your influences of the 19th century, if we were to recognize that, would you be upset by that?
I would be happy about it.
Or you want
it's
us
deliberate
to
deliberate at this point.
Okay.
It started out as a sort of innocent influence. I just felt that I needed some reference point. I knew that I wanted to focus on landscape. And I wanted to situate myself, you know, in an art historical context. And I just fell in love with painters like Courbet and Corot. So I think at this point, they're in my work. I can't help it. It's the way that I paint. So I would be surprised, actually, if someone looked at the work and didn't see the connection. It's just that now they're layered with all the other influences that I've had as a painter.
Mm-hmm. When you're putting the show together, what is it that you have wanted to, I guess, showcase all of what we've been talking about, really, and sort of that maturation as an artist?
I think really what I was interested in was seeing, I was interested in making, this has been a long-term interest, making the idea of transparency was something that I had was obsessed with when I had the storefront artist project, because I wanted to sort of dissolve the boundaries between inside and outside, between different parts of the self, between the street and the inside of a storefront space. And I realized when I turned my attention to painting full time that the same issues take place in the painting process. And you can set out with a clear idea or an intention, which, of course, changes as you work. But it's as if every thought and impulse and moment gets trapped in the painting. And at the end of the process, you can still look back and feel all of this. And so there is still this feeling of transparency, if that makes sense. So I've been testing this idea, and this is, you know, this is something that I did want to... not that I want to convey, because I think people go to a show and have their own reaction, but I wanted to test it for myself.
I'm interested that you use the word trapped as opposed to capture.
It feels like you can't get away from it. It feels like, you know, you...
And you don't want it to get away. You want to trap it.
It's not that I want to. It's just that, you know, my thinking has become so connected to the materials that I work with, and... You know, even the ground that I work with is very absorbent. It's like a fresco ground. And so other kinds of painting grounds are more slippery. So because I use this fresco ground, it does literally you cannot put a tiny mark down without it catching. And I just feel like it's this recording device. You know, it's almost like being on the radio. Anything you say, you know, it's there for posterity.
I know.
So in a way, I mean, maybe trap is too sort of it has a negative connotation. I just mean that it's recorded, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to show you an image. You can tell me what it's titled, because it's I think, my favorite.
Oh, thank you.
This is beautiful. And do you know the title of this offhand?
That one's Untitled.
Untitled, okay. That's easier for me to remember.
Yeah.
Excellent. And, but this is definitely a landscape scene, but almost a what I would refer to as a heavily forested, vegetated area.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've for a long time been interested in the way paint acts like it acts like foliage or like a natural. It has this quality that it makes its own image, and I've been pushing this idea and finding ways to make the paint actually act like leaves, you know, with light coming through them. So I was really excited about this painting because
is that different than texture?
It's different than texture. It's you know, there are all these tricks and mediums and things you can do to the paint, which are kind of exciting once they become part of your toolkit. And so it's like another vocabulary now. And so I know that if I bend the rules and if I do things you're not supposed to do technically, I'll get the effect I'm looking for. And you know, it makes the painting somewhat unstable technically. But that I want that as well. I want the instability in the surface. You know, I don't want it to just be a pretty picture. Maybe I want it to look like a pretty picture, and then you spend time with it and you see everything that's in
there. And there's more.
Yeah.
Well, Arcadia, New Paintings by Maggie Mailer, is on a display at McDerris Fine Art on Warren Street in Hudson through November 15th. So you just have a little while, so do that now. It's November 15th, Maggie Mailer, Arcadia at McDerris Fine Art. Also, the paintings we've been talking about, you can see at MaggieMailer.com. MaggieMailer.com to learn more and to see Maggie's beautiful work. I love talking about the artistic process, especially with someone who is so articulate in describing it. So
thank you
very much for joining us this morning. Again, you can find out more by going to MaggieMailer.com. McDerris Fine Art on Warren Street in Hudson through November 15th. Maggie, thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.